The RAIN Podcast Business Summit 2021 from New York.
And thanks so much to the RAIN Podcast Business Summit for having myself as well as my Triton colleagues on the call today. That's a lot. That's a lot to live up to. So I'll certainly try in the next 20 minutes to deliver upon the thought-provoking piece as well as compelling insights. I must say, Connell stole my line, but I don't think it'll be the last time that you hear that podcasting is truly rising. It's almost surging. I guess what I would add to that is it's proving to be in spite of a pandemic last year. The data that I want to show this morning really supports that growth, that surge. With my partners, Daryl Battaglia, SVP of Measurement and Market Development on this call, he spent an immense amount of time diving into the analytics. So I thank him for helping me with this, but also the entire team at Triton. Many are on this call today to really put forth and show you the growth areas, show also the impact that podcast newbies, as well as habitual podcasters are having, and the impact that it's really doing to build a business of podcasting. The podcast trends that we're going to look at today, as well as understanding the data, is really meant to harness what we can present to sponsors and advertisers about what that user's experience is in listening to podcasts, defined by their interests and behaviors. So what we're going to do first is dive into how audiences are listening. And I will challenge maybe my first thought-provoking ask is the purpose of today is for you perhaps to see one, maybe two advantages that you can turn into opportunities. So first, we're going to dive into listeners over the past year and what they've listened to by category. Firstly, what we see, and I don't think it's any big surprise, but the big element is the dominance. One third of the downloads that happened in the last year were from the news category. And then if you add true crime and comedy, that comprises another 25% of the total downloads last year or in the past 12 months. Rounding out the top five, society and culture, and even business, number six, comprise 8%, 7%, and even 6% respectively. If we look a little bit deeper into the top 10, we see science and arts coming in at 3% each, as well as health and fitness, history coming in at 2%. Now, the other big category is really the aggregator category of other. Other comprises a whole, dare I say, long tail of categories. I think that's actually a plus for podcasting because there is such diverse category offerings. But if you add all of those up, they account for 8.7% of the category of other. So as we move from categories into devices, what you see is a dominance of mobile. I don't think that's striking. I think what is important is to see that it continues to rise. So the mobile device for podcast listening is here to stay. What I'd like for you to look at is the dominance or the hyper increase in smart speakers. It's the third element there where you're actually looking at smart speakers now being almost equal to the amount of listening happening comparatively to last year as desktop. So we see a decrease in desktop, but we see a surge in smart speakers. One of the common themes that I'll be talking about for the next few minutes is how these trends vary by category. For example, the news category that we just looked at so dominantly, if we look at it comparatively on smart speakers, the amount of downloads happening on smart speakers, it is 17.7% compared to the average of 5%. Similarly, the kids and family category is also is also over-indexing on smart speakers, a 12.4%, basically almost a 3% or a three times multiplier increase. as we go a bit more into how they're listening, as we go a bit more into how they're listening, we look at the platforms in which they're listening on. The most common platform remains Apple. Today, I will say, and you've probably read some of the articles, and I think we might get to it a little bit later today, Spotify is aggressively inching into or encroaching into Apple's dominance. Apple still has a plurality of listenership on a platform. Spotify's increase is just another indicator that that is growing more and more. Now, this is a look at 2020 as a whole over 2019. So these numbers, certainly in 2021, are going to look vastly different. So if you invite me back next year, we'll have an update on this. And I think these numbers will be dramatically different. Even with Apple and Spotify, I think it's important to also look at the other key growth areas that we see in platform listening. If we look at Google and Amazon, while only 3% in 2020, their growth over 2019 is striking. Amazon Music and Amazon Alexa is staggering in terms of their 200%+ increase. And Google Podcasts is also increasing too. I think the important thing, the important note to also take away from platform listening is I read in a recent article that podcast listeners don't choose just one platform. They are definitely multi-platform users. I think on average, it's anywhere from 2 to 3 platforms for listeners use to be able to consume their content. And that enviable other, what makes up almost 25% of listening? Well, a lot of that is coming from web browsers. And it also comes from a plethora of other platforms that are available. And as you aggregate them up, you'll see things like I said, browsers, Overcast, CastBox, Pocket Casts, and a whole multitude. The great thing about that is that it's really reaching the listeners how they want to listen on the specific platforms that work for them. There's just a lot of them. So as we look beyond the top four, the other certainly comprises almost a quarter of all of that listenership. Now I wanted to break down and go from how they're listening into the aggregate of the downloads once we consume those. So if you look at the box, and the numbers might be hard to read, but let me break them down for you. I am often asked in a publisher role, as well as the team, about, are my listeners good? I mean, are my downloads good? Is this enough? Is this enough to be successful? Is this enough to get advertisers' interest? And so we wanted to take a look at that. So at the outset, on average, this chart represents episode downloads after 30 days of publishing. So there's a couple of things that you can take from this. The shelf life of an episode, as well as the multiplying effect. What you'll see on the left-hand side is we took a look at this in 5 different ways. We took the top 50%, in this case, on average, the top 50% of show of episode downloads, and what was their download rate after 30 days. And then we dove deeper in various levels, top 20%, top 10%, 5, 2, and the top 1% true fandom of the top episodes. And we looked at how the downloads multiplied. So an easy way to look at this is overall, there was a 2 to 3 times multiplier in downloads between the top 50, a really broad range of episodes we looked at, to the top 1%. Now, again, I must say that this impact varies when you look at it by category. For example, the news category, whereas before we were 2, maybe 3 to 3 times multiplier, the news category is consistently a 3 times multiplier, which means that you have a very broad audience listening or a very broad sample of episodes. And though every time you go deeper into that really popular content, you're going to get a 3 times multiplier. Similarly, with comedy, you have a multiplier. That multiplier is actually a bit different. If you do the math here, it's about 2.5%, a 2.5 times multiplier. What is very interesting about comedy, it is the highest of all five categories that we looked at. It is the highest for the top 1%, meaning that there are very prominent shows that have a long shelf life. It is the highest of any category that we looked at. I'll just run through a couple to give you a random sample. Society and Culture. This one had a 3.5 to 4 times multiplier in terms of, it has a very small, so there's a very fragmented amount of listening that's happening after 30 days, not a lot of shelf life at that top 50%. That is drastically different when you get to that top 1%. And finally, before I bore you, sports. Sports was really interesting because, as you can imagine, the immediacy of sports, there is a lot of content happening at that top 50%. There's a lot of episodes with downloads happening, and it doesn't last a long time. However, when you get to that really prominent episode, that really key episode that drives a lot of downloads, there's a lot of listening, and the listening happens with a long shelf life. So now I'm going to move from downloads and move into a little deeper into that shelf life. So what we did, and Daryl, I appreciate your help with this. What we did is we looked at how listenership is happening. Again, overall, of all the episodes that we've looked at. Sorry? Nope, I thought there was a question. Pardon me. If we look at all the downloads that we have a third of all episodes are listened to in the same day. If we look at over a course of a week, once it's launched, you have another third. So 2/3 of the episodes overall being listened to happen within the first week. And then you can see how it breaks out 14% over the course of a month, 7% over the course of between 1 month and two and beyond. I'm going to say it again, so if there's any bingo, you certainly have cleared off that card. The news category that we looked at specifically is an inverse of this. 51% of listenership of episodes are listened to in the first day. That makes a ton of sense. There's immediacy to it. And it really, you know, it doesn't have a long shelf life. As you can see, 8% is of episodes are listened to in 2 to 6 months. Now, contrasting that is true crime. True crime, as you can imagine, has a long, both immediate shelf life, immediate listen rate, as well as a long listening rate. The listen rate between day of, as well as 2 to 6 months later, is exactly the same. It is something that is truly awesome. And it's incredible for the podcast creator, but it's also great for advertisers. True crime is a great example of where monetizing your catalog, even your quote unquote back catalog, really has powerful powerful impacts because you're able to get at that audience however they're listening to your content. I'm going to make a special note here about news. I've mentioned it throughout several times, and I failed to mention at the beginning. News category here includes entertainment, sports, business news, and political. So it's not just daily news that we're looking at for daily for category, but apologize if that was just keynote to, I missed it at the beginning. Now, what is that that advertiser impact? From Triton's measurement experience, podcast client feedback, even trends that we see in our programmatic spend, specifically in podcasts, we find a clear evidence that listenership is firmly accepted by advertisers in podcasts. So I'm going to show you some examples of that comfort level, that example of that acceptance between listeners and brands and podcasts. We wanted to take a look at first about reach. We wanted to take a look at, is there a duplication reach in terms of advertiser spending in deep into a category or into a podcast network? So follow along with me here, if you wouldn't mind. So first, what we did is we took an advertiser spending in the top show they asked. So we took a top show, and then we said, how much duplication is there if they added one more show, their second choice? There is a plus 53% reach increase by adding that second show. Then we took it one step further and we said, what if that same advertiser not just added one show, so two shows, but added all the way, add an additional nine. So what is the reach of adding the top 10 shows? There was over a 200% increase in reach for an advertiser if they bought deep into a vertical of shows. So more information is going to come out on this, but we thought it was really insightful when we talked about duplication reach. As I go a bit beyond reach, I'm going to go into just the top categories. Podcasting offers a diverse slate of listening out there. I think it's likely more than any other medium. That's my research. Maybe it's not validated yet, but I think so. Now, what I'm showing you here is the top five, but there is a plethora of flavors that really meets the unique tastes, interests, and again, behaviors of a global, mobile, and discerning podcast audience. So let's take a look at these top five, and then we can dive into. So common, we see sports and comedy. We've talked a lot about those categories throughout this presentation. Sports is the highest spend based on our programmatic sales side platform called YieldOp, is the highest spend. Beyond that, it drops almost in half to events and attractions, comedy, and then we get into some others. Now, again, this was 2020, so politics played a bigger role. But if we look at beyond category, the positions, this is another very telling story about where advertising is growing. In 2020, we saw a huge increase in supply being made available. More mid-roll inventory was available programmatically. So there was a 73% increase in revenue in the mid-roll position within a podcast quarter over quarter. In fact, if we look at that year over year in 2020, we look at a 600% increase in the mid-roll. And so much of that is due to the increase in impressions being available within podcasts. Going down to a couple of other inventory units, we see 182% increase Q4 over Q3 in pre-roll revenue spend. And we also still see a 50% increase in post-roll spend. What's interesting about what I'd love for you to take away from this note, as well as the previous, is that these are emerging opportunities for every show to monetize more. Certainly, this is not a replacement of direct. It is actually a complement for any direct sale. Host-read is still a very important part of podcast revenue. Then you have your direct sales, your sponsors to be able to get at that audience. But I will say programmatic plays an important, perhaps tertiary role. But even for podcasts that are just getting started and growing their audience, when they're part of a programmatic platform like Triton, you can be part of a larger scale. So those, what we term as those growing podcasts that may not have the download numbers to be that top tier, you still have an opportunity to monetize your shows using programmatic revenue. So let's spend a little bit more time on programmatic revenue, shall we? Programmatic spend in podcasts has increased. John Rosso recently, who is on this call, mentioned that, mentioned that there was a 341% global increase in podcasts, in programmatic revenue in 2020. It's staggering. If we take a little bit deeper dive into that, where is it coming from? Four out of the $5 spent in programmatic buys, according to Triton, is coming from open marketplace. However, one out of every $10 is coming through private marketplace. The interesting thing to note about the private marketplace is the CPM. The average CPM is three times that of open marketplace. programmatic continues to be a contributor to monetizing podcasts. And our research shows that CPMs are rising. Again, referencing back to a study that John referenced a couple of weeks ago, 26% increase in CPMs in the last year. I think this proves that programmatic is not a race to the bottom in terms of CPMs. Up to now, in order for big brands, global agencies to access the data that they need to be to consider podcasts, they had to gather data, spreadsheets from various podcast creators or podcast networks and aggregate all of that into a file. And it was very complicated and complex. I know there's many agencies on the call or many agency buyers on the call today that hopefully are shaking your head. Further, that data came from various CDNs, different methodologies, which made aggregating that data difficult. Triton solved for that pain point specifically for both publishers and buyers. What I'd like to show you now is a very concise way that Podcast Metrics has connected the podcast creator and network's data to advertisers directly. Podcast Metrics offers a consistent measurement across the country, across many different parameters, regardless of host. It is true hosting agnostic. This allows a podcast creator or a network to sell a group of podcasts together and present it to an agency for consideration. Now, Podcast Metrics is a unified, universal UI for both publishers and agencies. They can see one another. So in this case, podcast creators would curate a lineup. Maybe it's by category. Maybe it's by a grouping of shows that they want to bundle together and present to an agency. And then they simply share it. They share it to agencies of their choice, the lineups that they choose, and they can share it to agencies connected already, like Horizon. I saw Maria on this call. Publicis, Kara. And there are other agencies lining up or signing up for the access in real time. So I just want to say, this was a lot of information to cover. I think this presentation will be available. I'll leave that to Lee and the team to distribute, but I welcome the opportunity. I do want to give a quick plug for an upcoming deeper dive into audience engagement with digital audio coming up with Infinite Dial. That's coming out on March 11th at 2 p.m. I will put in the chat window right after this a link if that's available. That's gonna be presented by Edison and Triton, John Rosso, who's on this call. I think Tom Webster I saw on this call. If anyone has attended that before, it's highly entertaining and highly informative. So look forward to deeper dive into audience data as well as more and more about podcast audience. So again, thanks so much for the opportunity. Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Kurt, for allowing Triton. And we are proud to be sponsors and proud to be presenting today.